You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by founder at Herenia Capital, Piotr Riedlinges, to take a look at the market movements for the day. Good evening, Marmalade. Nice to speak to you again. The Rand holding steady at 18.50 rand, but it was better off in previous days.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good evening, actually. The sun is down already. Can you believe it? And yeah, the Rand quite a bit weaker today, about what, 0.9%, almost 1% on the back foot. If you take that on Tuesday, we were trading around, what, 18 rand and 2 cents, 18 rand and 3 cents, I think we closed, or 18.06. And today, currently, well, right now at this very moment, 18.42. So we've gone backwards quite a bit in the last 2 days, quite a bit of weakness coming in. I think it's just general... I want to say risk-off sentiment coming into the market as a whole. We also saw the top 40 index pull back quite a bit over the last 2 days. I mean, we were knocking on the door of sort of 74,000 just a couple of days ago. And since then, the market has pulled back about 1.5%, 1.6% in the last 3 trading sessions. So it's been a bit of a tough week. And I think that this is something that we can see reflected, you know, sort of everywhere, really. Brent crude oil price also breaking a key support level. Trading lower, we track Brent crude. I know a lot of guys track West Texas Intermediate crude, but Brent trading at 81.63, so that's kind of at the lows it's been since, I guess, mid to early March was the last time we were trading down here, so quite a bit of weakness coming in there. It looks as though the gold price is also cooling off a little bit. The last 2 days, we've seen 2 big down days for the gold price. So it's spent some time above 2400 now, back beneath there, 2345 at the moment. So it seems as though there's just a general sort of risk off sentiment coming through the market. Everything that's run really hard is pulling back. S&P 500 also, well, not really coming down, but 2 days of sideways. The NASDAQ, however, obviously NVIDIA, the stock that cannot be stopped, jeepers, hey?
I was just going to say, the whole NASDAQ is up almost a full percent, and that's clearly the one-way traffic from NVIDIA.
And that's one share, yeah, basically, hey? It's insane. That stock is crazy. It's up another 6% after a very strong day yesterday. Yesterday it was up around 3.7%. It's currently up around 6 now.
Pietri, you mentioned that there's a bit of risk-off sentiment at this stage. Is there something that's been driving that, or is it just markets kind of went through a significant rally? There's a bit of exhaustion. There's just a bit of let's catch our breath before we move forward. Because I imagine the fact that this is affecting global markets doesn't necessarily mean that the South African sentiment is being driven by the election news or the election developments that we expect next week necessarily, and it could be more global factors as well. Is there a particular global something that's playing out? I mean, the US Fed hasn't said anything alarming recently.
Yeah, there's no... Well, okay, so I think it's a story of many parts, to be honest. I mean, if you just contextually look at the S&P, the top 40 index, since April 17th to, 3 days ago, it had rallied over 10%. In essentially 23 trading days. So that's like a month, right? That's a very, very strong move for the market to have made. So now we've pulled back 1.6% over the last 2 days, and we're still up a solid 8.5% since the lows, since the 17th of April, right? And if we go just a little bit further back than that, and we look at kind of the lows we saw on the 19th of March to now, we're up solid 10%. And if you look at the highs, it's 12%. So it's a very strong move, and markets cannot move in straight lines like that, right? So that's one factor. The other factor is that, yes, as you say, the Fed hasn't really been making any scary noises. But what has been relatively scary, if you look at some of the data that came out today, we saw PMI data come out, and, you know, PMI data in the US running a bit hotter than expected. So, for example, the S&P Global Composite PMI number was expected to come in somewhere around 51.1, and the actual came in at 54.4. So that shows that, at least from the manufacturing side of the equation, prices are still increasing, right? Because as we know, the Purchasing Manager Index sort of measures the rising in costs for the input products or the input material that goes into the manufacturing of products and services and so on. So services PMI up, manufacturing PMI up, composite PMI up. all ahead of what markets were expecting or what economists were expecting. So that kind of shows that despite high interest rates, the US economy is still running hot. So what does this mean? Does this mean we see more, obviously, this interest rate cut narrative is probably not going to happen? Does this open the door for more hikes? We don't know, right? And I think that uneasiness is really maybe what the market has been responding to, at least today. And, you know, we've been seeing hotter than expected inflation data and other data points also this week. So the markets are kind of feeling a little wobbly and a bit of unsure. Now, layer on top of that, uncertainty heading into the election. We've seen almost everybody, including the big banks, put out, you know, risk notes about potential unrest and that kind of stuff. You know, how much of this stuff will actually happen? Obviously, we don't know, but risk managers being risk managers have to at least highlight these things. So there's a lot of those reports going around, and I think that that's creating a little bit of uneasiness, a little bit of jitteriness coming into the election. So I think that there's a lot of factors that are, you know, simultaneously driving a number of things. So on a global level, it seems that there's a bit of a risk off on the back of higher inflation data. And on a local level, it seems that there's a bit of risk off, obviously, on the back of the international influence, but also on the, well, we don't know what's going to happen in the election starts.
Certainly a lot of uncertainty, a lot up in the air. And I think it's more than, as you said, Beatrice, more than just the South African picture. There's a lot up in the air globally as well. I suppose that's probably why certain companies are looking to make their moves sooner rather than later. Unfortunately, we don't have much more time to get into those bids. I would have loved to get your thoughts on why BHP has decided they won't be increasing a bid. But actually, let me do that. Let's look at that quickly before I let you go, Beatrice. Anglo American has rejected yet another bid from BHP, and BHP has said they're not going to increase the bid. We know this has been going on for quite some time. We know that yesterday the PIC put out a statement saying they will engage with both parties because they have an interest, a vested interest in both companies, and they'll try and see what they can do and what they can bring to the table. Where do we go from here? Does BHP walk away and we say, welcome Glencore?
Well, you see, you're asking the same question everyone else is asking. Because, I mean, how else do you explain the market reaction that we saw? Okay, the share price down. Well, I lied to you. It's up another 1.5% today on Anglo's. So we saw that Anglo's essentially rejected the deal, saying you're still undervaluing us. BHP Billiton said, look, we're not going to pay anymore. And the share price rallied in Anglo's. So I think everybody's sitting and watching going, well, if Billiton won't play, maybe Glencore will. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I've seen nothing that indicates that Glencore is going to enter into the fray other than speculation at this point. So maybe that's what the market is anticipating. Billiton, I think, you know, if we look at some of these companies, some of them have histories of being extremely flamboyant during the good times and going on huge acquisition sprees and overpaying for assets and then having to spend decades to make the money back. So a little bit of capital discipline from them is, I think, a welcome sight, given the track record of companies in this sector, the mining companies, you know, at the top of the cycle, overspending on acquisitions you know, overspending on exploration and things like that. So it's good to see that Billiton is willing to be disciplined with the capital, at least. Anglo's probably breaks into smaller pieces, right? I think they want to get out of the diamond business. They want to sort of, you know, unbundle a lot of their different divisions into smaller companies. Maybe that's the way that it goes. And maybe once they have start breaking themselves up into smaller pieces, maybe then Billiton comes back to the party. And who knows? Maybe you're right. Maybe your question is well-founded. Maybe you're on the money. Maybe Glencore comes to market and says, well, if Billiton doesn't want it, we do. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. For now, however, I think it's probably safer, at least from a trading perspective, to avoid both of these stocks. Volatility is great to make money from, but if you're on the wrong side and you get a 10% move and you're in a leveraged position, it's going to hurt. So it's probably better to just observe for now until there's some clarity.
Watch from the sidelines rather. And if anyone out there wants to pick up De Beers, maybe give Anglo a phone call. Let's leave it at that, Pietri. Thanks so much for the insights and the time. Pietri Redling is founder of Herenia Capital, joining me to reflect on the market movements throughout the day.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.